And we thank you, Lord. We lift up your word knowing what a treasure it is to us. So, Father, as we come to you now, we pray, Lord, that you move upon us, that we would be men and women of the word, that people would see us, Lord, the ones that love your word and your name, and we would just rest in you, trusting in you to do your work in us. And in this, Father, we thank you that you will do it. Lord, help us to be humble and to accept the things you want to do in us. We lift up this day to you and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And we're going to start where we ended last week. We began this section in this series of verses. And we're going to begin with this scripture. Now, the scripture we're going to begin with is submitting to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21. And over the next few weeks, as we begin this act of submission and Paul beginning to describe what it means to submit, we're going to look at this and we're going to see a couple of different things. We're going to see, actually, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be covering the wife and the husband. And we're calling that I did, hers and his. And that's I did with a question mark. So, and then we're going to be looking at Rugrats in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, we'll be looking at, well, at least I got a job. So, today, we're going to be looking at the dynamic duo, the team, the ball and chain, the better halves, etc., whatever you want to call them. We're going to be looking at the relationship between a husband and wife. And the relationship between a husband and wife, as it's talked about in Scripture, is something that absolutely requires supernatural intervention. Because it's a relationship that cannot exist without it. And we'll kind of see that today. Carl, can you turn the fans on? one of the things I want to do is just, I want you to look at a few things with me, and I just want to talk about a few things. All of us, most of us, have had a relationship at one time or another. And in these relationships, we come to learn and know and understand what God is talking about in some of these things. But sometimes our relationships aren't exactly right. For instance, when I came to know my wife, Elizabeth, and she's not here today, and it's almost like, you know, it's almost like that was a God thing, because it was not planned, believe me. I did not plan for this series of verses to fall at this time. But and honestly, I kind of keep waiting for her to kind of kick in the door and look at me when I'm talking about these section of verses. So I'm almost a little nervous, like looking at the door. But when she and I got together, neither one of us knew Christ. Neither one of us knew the Lord. And we actually had a child out of wedlock. So, but, you know, we lived in a culture and in an area where we didn't really think it was bad. We were okay with it. But her mom was not, because her mom did not want to take care of another baby. So her mom said, hey, I'll buy you guys, I'll go pay and get you guys a marriage license. All you got to do is get married. We were like, okay, cool, because we weren't going to blow money on it. You know, we could have gone to a movie or something. We weren't going to spend money on it. So, you know, yeah, so we literally wait till the last day that the license is in effect. And her mom is like really freaking out, and you better go do it, and you better go get it. So we're like, all right, we'll go get it. So off we trudge, hitting random churches, hoping somebody will do something. Finally, we hit this one church. And keep in mind, neither one of us knew the Lord. And we come into this church, and so far we had hit nothing but brick walls. No, we don't do that. No, you're not a member. Sorry, no, no. And we come to this one church, and this pastor, when we come in, he sees us and he says, man, how are you guys doing? And we told him exactly what was happening. Had our son in tow, and we're like, you know, okay. And so this pastor says, come on in, I'll marry you. and he sits us down and he talks to us about the Word of God, which, of course, was not in our relationship. And it was a real blessing. And I remember to this very day, when he said, listen, you are not making just a promise to each other. You're making a promise to God. And I remember that to this very day. That young man who did not know the Lord, hearing that and just impacting me. Now, when he invited us in, he told the choir that was practicing, hey, when you guys are done, I'm going to marry these guys. I need a few of you here to stay as witnesses. And, of course, it was a group of like, you know, 8 or 10 women, and they were, oh, you know, and all that good stuff, and it was just great. And, you know, and once they finished practice and most of them cleared out, a few stayed, and we had no idea what was going on. And here at this church that had never seen us before, and to tell you now, would honestly never see us again. But this church that had never seen us before, would never see us again. He married us. People cried for us. And then when we were done, we went out and the other ladies of this choir that had left had gone and bought cake and soda and ice cream and threw us a reception. Never knowing us. Giving themselves of us. Never having met us before. And again, as I said, would never meet us again. Except in heaven. Because that was another testimony that brought us even closer to God. And I tell that story of how a couple can come together and God can still move in. Because even though we got married in such a way and it was so beautiful, I wasn't a redeemed person. Do you think it affected me then like it does now? No. No. I lived without God for years after that. For years. But once God broke me, every single thing that had ever happened in my life that had brought me to that moment of salvation played back in my mind, in my head, and God said, see how I've been in your life. And that's what we're looking at today. I want you, as you look at this, to think about how my wife and I came together, how I technically was really abusing the relationship at the time. And God makes us new creatures now. And these new creatures came about at a time in these section of verses that we're looking at today as we started talking about submitting to one another in the fear of God. And we're looking at this submission. And we look at the women of this time that the Bible was written in. And think about it. Even the Jewish women were told, just like children and slaves, you are exempt from having to say the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And women were exempted from that because they were put on the same level as slaves and children. Think about that. Let that sink in. The rule of the home from nearly every society of this time treated women like a different class of citizen. Men could literally, and I kid you not, men could kill their wives for adultery according to Roman law. They could murder them. But the woman had no such right were the man to do it. The rights of women were incredibly sparse at this time. And when Christianity comes on the scene, God puts everybody on even footing. God tells everyone, this is how you must live. And think about how he begins in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So God immediately says, I know what you've done in the past. I know how you lived. But now here's what you have to do. And he says, every single one of you submit to every single other one of you. And he doesn't say, you know, unless you're this or unless you're that. He simply says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And it's not simply because God said so. That fear of God is that reverential worship. It's that commitment. It's that thing that says, my God has asked me to. I want to do this. It's a deep and solemn respect that we do it in. So I don't submit just because God told me to. I submit because he's enabled me to. And he said, come on, come with me, let's do this. Okay, and now we get into this section of verses, and I would remind you that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, that's 2 Timothy 1:7. I think I'm saying that verse for my own comfort. Because ladies, for those of you that may be driving, listening on the radio, I'm going to ask you to pull over. For those of you maybe listening to a recording, you know, don't throw things at your electronics. They break. And we're going to get into this section of verses. But I'm going to kind of preface it with Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The wise woman can literally create a home blessed by God. God is telling you, ladies, women, mothers, sisters, whoever you may be, He is saying, I'm putting the power with you. I've given you this. It's an incredible thing. And as we're going to see today, what many women in the past and many women in other cultures and societies have looked at and seen as yet more entrapment is actually power that we do not even begin to see, except in this new life in Christ. So let's get on with it. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Okay, I just wanted to pause for a second, see if we hear any cars wrecking out there, but we don't. So, you know, and again, Liz hasn't flung the door in, so I'm safe. But, you know, if I'm black and blue next Sunday, you know what happened. But as we read here, the idea of positions and submission and, you know, don't lord over me and don't do these things is something that we really come up with. And as he begins here, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. So he's not saying that women are subject to men. That's not what he's saying here. He is saying, in terms of this marriage relationship, I am the Lord, and I have set an order. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands. We carry the idea of submit over from the previous verse, because technically, if you look at the verse in the Greek, it doesn't even really say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, but it follows a Greek rule that says the verse before it carries over the subject, which is submission. And a lot of people would say, well, it doesn't even have that in there, so why is it in there? Because it's the rule of the language, okay? We can try and get away from it and say, well, no, it doesn't say that. It says it. Read it. It all makes sense. It's what it's all talking about in every circumstance. This is all about submitting one to another. Okay? Ladies, those of you that are not married, this is for you too. Because one of the things you're going to do is, if a man tells you to submit, then you need to point at that ring finger and say, there is no band of gold here yet. Shut your face. Right? I give you permission to smack him down in whatever way you should so choose. Because men do not have rights over women. This is not what this is about. This is not about a man being in charge or making things happen. But it does mean what it says. It means, ladies, be subject to your own husband. And yeah, in the language as it's used, it's just like you would to royalty. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? But in 1 Peter 3:1-6, it talks about these things. It refers to these things. It talks about marriage and Abraham and all these things. Now, we also know from the scriptures and what it's saying here that if we're doing it outside the bounds of what Paul says here and what we see in the scriptures, then we're doing it wrong. We are corrupting the order of what God has made. And God says plainly here, wives, submit to to your own husbands. But turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I want to look at that so we have that as a reference as we're looking at this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And, you know, I know how we always wonder about how to apply that, and that's one of the things that we're going to go through today, is what do you mean be submissive? What does it mean to submit? And Peter goes on and says that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Okay, the reason that Peter says that and the whole thing of that is, number one, he's saying even if your husband is not saved, you live in this manner. Most women would say, if he ain't living like Christ, I'm not doing that. But Paul nor Peter says, well, if your husband is worth it, do it. If your husband is of value, do it. He says, listen, you, by simply submitting in this manner, can get your husband saved. Isn't that crazy? It's a crazy thought or an idea. And why would he say that? Because submission is impossible. Without the new life of Christ in you, you cannot submit. The whole thing about men and women and how they're put together, you know, women are the opposite of men. They're the matching pair. They're the missing piece. They're the fitting part. A man says yes, the woman says no. The man says let's go, the woman says slow down. Or vice versa, right? It's just one of the things that's naturally thing. It's the opposite. They're a completer. They make it happen. They're a part of the whole. It's a thing we can't live without. And so our nature is to not be submissive. And when Paul says, listen, so everybody submit to everybody else, we know and immediately know the only way I'm going to be able to do that is with God. That's the only way that's going to happen. So this supernatural submission can literally get someone saved because they see this incredible thing happening before their eyes. Verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is the thing he's talking about, is don't let it just be on the outside. Let it be in your heart. Let me in, and I will change you. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to... So he's saying they adorned themselves with submission here, to their own husbands. And then he equates this with, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And note, Sarah wasn't always perfect in that, because most of us, we remember Hagar. That was a big mess. And if you don't know that story, I would encourage you to go look at it there in the book of Genesis. And he says, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So the whole idea is don't be afraid of performing this submission. Understand and know that God says, I will do a work in it. Because it's a supernatural thing. It's not something that you, I'm going to submit now. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be something that comes out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's something that God wants. You could turn back, and we're going to look at verse 23 now in Ephesians. So it's equated to be this relationship that we see here is equated to be the same relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. And when it says there in verse 23 that Savior of the body, it can mean different things. This isn't saying that men are better, so let's get that straight. That is not what this is saying. This is an order that God has put in place. This is a thing that God has said, this is how I have ordained marriage. You can have your own ideas, but they're wrong, because God said this. God put it here. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Comparable. It doesn't say beneath him, but it is an equal. God made women because a man by himself is not complete. This is the nature of it. In it we see the perfection in the relationship and why he keeps equating it to Jesus Christ in the church. 1 Timothy 2:13 says, "Adam was formed first, then Eve." So he's talking there about the fact that God made man first. It's an order. It's not a command. It's not an edict. It's not anything that says anybody's better than the other. He simply says, this is the order that I've done it in. Now, some have taught that it uses God, Jesus being the Savior of the church, that it means submitting can lead a woman to salvation. But that's not true. A woman doesn't get saved. A man can't save a woman by forcing her to submit. You know? That's not going to happen. That's just going to lead to rebellion. So it doesn't mean that. Because it's unnatural for a person to submit without being regenerate first. You have to have the life of Christ in you to really submit. Some teach that this means that the man is responsible for the woman's safety. And though I believe that is true, I know some women that can beat their husbands up. So no, I don't think that this is applying to that in every way. What does it mean? Well, that word Savior is only used in reference to where it talks about Jesus or God. So as you look at this verse and you begin to look at it, it's a parallel. It's a parallel, and he is saying, listen, as God saved us, you live for them. It's a whole equating thing, and it brings the marriage to an unimaginable level that most of us would go, whoa, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't get married to have this. Because he's beginning to try and get into our minds that the same relationship that God has with you, this thing that God's done inside you, is equated in your marriage. And how you live in your marriage is how people can see God. And we'll look at that as we're doing this. Your marriage, our relationships with each other, the submission that we have, is incredibly important. And also, by equating it and saying that it's just like this Savior, and he is saying it happens not just on a spiritual level. Can we turn the AC on? Thank you, Andrew. It happens not just on a spiritual level, but on a physical level. Because Christ saved us, body and soul, did he not? So he's not just saying, listen, as long as you're spiritually married and living right that way, you can pretty much do whatever you want in the flesh. No. He is the Savior of his body, the church. Get that for a second. Let that sink in. Because he calls us his body. We, the church, are him. And he says, as Christ died and saved the body, this is the relationship you have in marriage. Look at verse 24. He says, "Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Wow. Let me ask you this. Our submission to Christ, where does it first happen? In the act of it. Like if I'm submitting to Jesus, is it just me bowing a knee and going, okay, Lord, let's do this? It happens in my heart. You know, it doesn't happen with me bowing and scraping and pulling my way up to him. It comes with him in my heart breaking it. So my submission to Christ and the submission of the wife to the husband It's a heart thing. It's about it happening on the inside. It's a subjection of the heart. In this subjection, in this submission of our hearts to one another, and as the woman is asked to do it to the guy, then I would just remind you in this submission that you need to check your infatuations. As women, if you are submitted in your heart, then you're, you know, the kind of the, what is it, the Edward versus the Jacob fan club for Twilight, you know? And all the ladies are like, no, I got to go see this movie because there's guys running around without shirts on. You know? And I'm just telling you, you can say it's anything else, but when you begin to latch on to those romantic ideals and you begin to submit yourself to those things, it affects a man. It really does. You can say all day long, well, I don't do anything. Well, let me ask you this, ladies. Would it break your heart if the man wanted to have a Playboy in the bathroom just to read the articles? Wouldn't that mess with your head and your heart, and you would doubt everything they said and did? It's the same thing when I submit myself to these other men and their ideals because my heart is being given away. And I understand too. I understand there are times where ladies are getting beat up and they are just longing for a romantic, loving relationship. And some men drive women to a point where it makes it very difficult to submit. That's why it has to be supernatural. That's why the things that we do in this life affect everything. Jesus Christ really came and really died for you and I. And in this relationship, ladies, He says, submit in your heart. Have it inside of you. And if we feed our hearts bad things, what's going to come out? If I'm constantly putting junk in, and the whole idea is if I'm latching on to all these things and all these ideals, when all I would really have to do to see something begin to change is submit. This goes on both sides of the camp. But ladies, I know it's hard, but it's got to be in your heart. This applies to single women too. Because as a single woman, who are you married to? Jesus. It also applies to guys. We're married to Jesus before we become married to another woman as well. But this equates to a single woman as well. And it applies to her relationship with Christ. You're getting that now. You're seeing how it all connects, how there's a relationship to Christ, there's a relationship with your husband, and how it all ties together. And look, married or not, the church is subject to Christ. That hypotasso, it's that same Greek word that's used over and over again, whether it says subject or submission, it's the same word. And just as you give, ladies, your heart to Jesus, He calls you give your heart to your husband. Mark 12:30 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And He says that the relationship you have with your husband is equated to this. He's not saying your husband is God. He's not saying worship Him in that manner. That's not what He's saying. But He is saying He is primary. He is there. He is yours. You've made this decision. Now, He parallels this complete submission of the church to Christ to wives and husbands. But it's to be a joyful one. You know, if you know, it's almost like when the woman's going to go submit, you can almost hear that funeral, that dun, 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 dun. I'm submitting now because I don't want the whole life. That's not submission. That's you just breaking yourself. And God doesn't want that for you. Because listen, if you find joy in it and if it's in your heart, it doesn't matter how they react because you know I am honoring and I am worshiping and I am revering my God. Your husband can be completely unsaved. He can be a pagan. And your submission, a supernatural thing done in your heart, can change his life. Now, Titus 2:4 says that the older women would admonish the young women to love their husbands and love their children. And that love there that he encourages Titus to encourage the women in is that word philandros, for loving one's husband. And the idea there is of a physical loving relationship. This physical type of relationship is one of the things that Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 7. He says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, he immediately starts out with that. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Be single. It's good. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. So he's saying, listen, husbands, you need to give her affection. And it doesn't mean the affection you want. Okay? It's the affection she wants. Because a guy is always, you know, if there's two things a guy's always ready for, food and the other thing, right? But he's not saying that here. He's saying, listen, you show her the affection that she desires, the affection that she wants. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. So he says, if you're mutually doing this, everybody's going to be happy. And then he goes on and says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And that's when we go, whoa, 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 whoa. What, really? But he keeps going, and he says, likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. When you began to play games with physical affection, when you begin to do that, it can drive the other person crazy. I've seen it happen. So the whole idea here is for you to understand, you know, and he's not saying if the husband does this, you do this. He doesn't say that here. And he doesn't say to the husband, if the wife performs A, you do B. He says, this is how you are to live. And it makes it tough. Because we're emotional beings and we're imperfect. And God knows this. And He doesn't say, if you don't do this, you're not saved. Please don't get me wrong. But He encourages you. And He says, if you want to see power in your relationship, live like this. And He says, the only reason you should ever physically, and this is talking about physical relations, the only time you should ever physically be apart is when you both agree that we need to stop for a time so that we can fast and pray, so that we can concentrate on spiritual things. And that's it. So, we need to be loving, we need to be kind, and we need to do that in a physical way too. It happens in this reality. It happens in real life. You know, life is not a constant thread of things. It's a constant up and down. It's a constant battle. It's a constant thing that comes against us. And I can apply these things and they will work, but it means it's supposed to change me. If the other person doesn't change, then there's other things that happen. And we're not going to go in that way. We're talking about what God has given us here. To live like this can mean so much. One commentator said the following. We have the clearest proof of it being the purpose of Christianity to purify and elevate the common relations of life. Much of the visible fruit of true religion lies in its making better subjects, better spouses, better children, better servants. Pagans, at the time of Christ, were struck with the excellence of Christian women. The mother of Chrysostom won golden opinions from pagans by remaining a widow from her 21st year. What women these Christians have was the exclamation of some. Christian women were wonderful missionaries in the early centuries by their devout, pure, and earnest lives. Many was the pagan who without the word was won by the conversation of the wife. Such lives are doubly blessed, blessed in themselves and blessed in their influence on the world. Wow. Blessed in their influence on the world. Today, in the Christian church, the rates of divorce are equal, sometimes even greater, than those in the world. Today, in us, do people say that of us? Do people look at the relationship that I have with my wife and see a man that loves his wife and gives everything for her? Christ died for us. And he says to the women, he says, listen, love him, be submissive. The world is watching, and you can change lives with it because you can't do it yourself. You need supernatural power, which means prayer, which means going to God and saying, God, you don't know this man. You don't have to live with him. And God says, I know, but I saved him and I saved you too. And if he doesn't know the Lord, God, he asks me and he goes, and God says, don't break any of your vows to me. Remain pure and chaste, but submit in love to the things that you can submit to and be morally pure. Should a man ask you to submit to something that is morally pure, impure, then you would say, no, I love you. I cannot do that. I can't go that far. Because God has said, you know, God has given me a moral guideline in my life, but anything else I could submit to you and I would do. The whole idea is knowing when you submit in your heart to someone, there's not a lot they can do to you. It's almost like, you know, if I really want to give away my love to someone, they can't abuse it because I'm giving it to them. I give them my heart, and when I give them my heart, whether they appreciate it, whether they love it, whether they let it affect them is of no matter because I'm giving them my love. And if they abuse it and walk away from it, so be it. But I remain morally pure. And this is the thing. When the world sees you living in this manner, they go, wow. You know, she should have put a bullet in him when he came home last night. Did you see what he did? You don't. Did you see their yard? Did you hear about what happened? She should have put a knife in his back. That man shouldn't have woke up this morning. But yet, there she is, loving her husband, treating him like royalty, knowing that this may be the only piece of heaven that this man will ever see. The only taste of heaven he may ever know. And there was a story told one time of an Indian woman. And she loved her husband with passion and ferocity and served him in every way and everything, just like these good Indian women are supposed to do. And as the man was sitting there boasting about how he had trained his wife, the other men, seeing the abuse that he heaped on her, and they asked her, you know, they're all sitting around playing cards, smoking, trashing up the house, and they ask her, why do you do this? And then she says, because I know my Lord has called me to submit to my husband. And because I know my husband will enter into the fires of hell, I want to show him the littlest taste of heaven that I can because he will never experience it when he dies. The man heard this and immediately gave his life to Christ. This is the act, the power that a woman has to not just affect your home, but affect society. When they see you living for Christ and putting aside your own mind, thoughts, and ideas and saying, I would live for Him. And put myself, not aside, but in His hands. Trusting God to see you through. And there are other questions I know some of you may have, which we're going to answer in this next set of verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. That's heavy. Because we're going to have to take a good look at how Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But we'll do that next week. We'll look at husbands next week. Because, guys, we need so much work. These things that will come on us will be heavy. Women, sharpen your elbows. Make sure your husband's here next week. And because we are men and we are dense, there will be illustrations. And I would just encourage you, ladies, understand and know. God does not have you to be submissive or be subject like peons in some kind of weird movie. He calls you to this because you have the power and strength to do so in Him. You could literally, women, as we saw, change people. They would see the lives of women outside of the church and see the lives of women inside of the church and go, there's a contrast here. Something's different going on. Can we say that today? Or do we just look like the world? We're always trying to say, no, just a sinner saved by grace. You need to stop that, church. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't have that out. You don't have that. You need to stop saying that. That is what you are, but that's what you were. That person died. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can the same God that saved you not make you new? Not make you different from the rest of the world? And it's in trusting in Him, in giving your life to Him, that you'll see these things done in your life. There are still pagans all around us, still people that don't believe. And your very action can say words that nobody would ever listen to otherwise. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we submit to you, each and every one of us, as we begin with submitting one to another. Father, help us to do this. Because in this supernatural thing where we give our lives to each other, we can come to know and understand and see the relationship, the things where we give and devote ourselves to God. And God says to these ladies, listen, I love you so much. Submit to Him as you would to me. Submit to me through Him. Let me stand in His place so that you would feel honored in giving your submission to Him. The love that He had for you, that Christ has, no man could ever equal. So know and understand that He calls you to this. He loves you and would never call you into anything that would hurt you. Would never call you to submit to a relationship that would cause you harm. That is not something a loving God would do. He calls you to submit only where it does not corrupt. And I lift each and every woman up, knowing, Lord, that you have given them such spirits. And we all say so many times in the church, the women's are the spiritual ones. Lord, and they are. Their connection and their closeness to the Spirit is one of the reasons they were attacked first. So, Father, as women are under attack in this country, we all think that men are, and we are. But women, oh, the attacks on women are so sly and so devious. And Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes, that they would see what the world is telling them is not true. that they would look to your word for every manner of life that they would live. That they would see the things that would corrupt them and they would turn away from them. We lift up this life to you, Lord, these short things that we have for this short time. Knowing that if we submit the supernatural submission you call each of us to, it will change things, Lord, and change others just in the act of it. As you have saved us, Lord, let us live as people that have been saved. And we lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you would, please stand and worship with us.